What it say?
Here's Loopy Fiasco starting things here. Next to it is the name of this track.
And you like this.
Yes, and I've already concluded that I like Loopy Fiasco. Welcome to our program, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And it say, yeah.
And this is General Galen Shaw, and today we'll have Bobby Dooley on, and she'll be talking about some...
Can't talk about it, dude!
I don't know what she's talking about. What is she talking about, bud?
I did have it, and probably about, oh, the girl that got on a the girl that got kicked out of KFC on account of the trucked up face.
Would you please not say that about a little girl?
Not a trucked up face. Also, we have on the program today, Don Berman will be joining us, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And thank you very much, Lupe. Sweet. All right, so welcome to the program here. Two notes. One, of course, is that we are available to you online at philhenryshow.com, where you can access all of the archives of this show. You know that this show is available free on iTunes and other podcast directories for 5 days. Then after that, boop, it gets pulled off, and it goes beyond the paywall. But on that paywall and behind that paywall and in our archives are thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of full shows going back 15 years. Every show we've done over the last 15 plus years is there at philhenryshow.com. Many generations of the show, all kinds of crazy-ass legendary stuff. So get a backstage pass. It is the greatest online value. You know, we joke around about the value, you know.
Well, I don't particularly like the hi, everyone. This is Margaret Gray.
Do you want me to introduce you every morning?
No, that's all right. I'll introduce my... if it's something you don't remember.
Well, Margaret, why do you need to be... I'd like to be introduced.
Well, then you can be introduced, but I want to be introduced... if Phil's going to introduce anyone, you introduce me. You know that, right?
Wait a minute, what? Why is that...
Whoa, hold the phone here. Now, wait, what are you saying? Are you saying no?
I'm not saying that. You want me to introduce you every morning? I will.
No, I'm saying if anyone gets introduced, it's me.
Well, then, Brian, how come you get introduced? And I don't.
Is he kidding? Are you kidding, Robert?
Will you point your finger at me because I'm the black man?
Nope. How dare you say something like that? I said, and I'll repeat, if anyone gets introduced first on this program, it's me.
Could you not bang the equipment like that?
Yeah, sure. Bang the equipment. What are you going to do? You going to hunch it?
Give me eight. Come on, Margaret.
One of these days, bud, and it won't be long. Gonna ride back in the 20, whatever that thing was that David Bowie said in Golden Years.
Oh, what was that thing?
I don't know. One of these days, and it won't be long. Gonna ride back.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Margaret, I will introduce you. Margaret Gray.
Well, what a smartass.
Look, Margaret, he introduced you. Isn't that good enough for Christ's sake?
I was saying, never mind. Once you take the Lord's name in vain, all bets are off.
Yeah, that is a little. Well, it's General Shaw. So what are you gonna do? What did you want me to say? You know.
I'm saying also on the program today is Bobby Dooley. Oh, he already said that.
Yes. Don Berman is going to be here. We're going to have a debate, I think, between Jack Armstrong and either Lloyd Bonafide or... between either Jack Armstrong and Lloyd Bonafide and Larry Grover over the Tea Party win. No, it's... God, I don't remember who it is now.
It's either Larry Grover or Lloyd Bonafide.
Yeah, it's going to be either Larry Grover or Lloyd Bonafide taking the Tea Party. The Tea Party lost in the Mississippi.
Yeah, in the Mississippi race.
Yes, I saw that. So we may have a debate there. But what I was saying was the backstage pass. Okay, anyway, pick that up. Be a member of our backstage pass family. Number two, of course, is our one-man show, which is going to be on July the 30th. It'll be at the Hollywood Improv. It is our second of this series of one-man performances that we're doing. I was talking about it during the pre-show, talking about how, excited I am.
I think it bears repeating. You said that you get you look forward to this. Most people would be frightened to death. And this is something I know a little bit about, not because I've done performing, Phil.
Did you ever feel like you was going to freeze up?
No, bud, no. I'm a professional, thank you. I've done singing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is my very first foray out there.
See, this is weird.
This is weird?
Yeah, it's weird not to be nervous the first time that you're going up on stage.
Well, it's not really the first time I've been up on stage, but it's the first time I've done this. But not only am I not nervous, I look forward to it. There's excitement. Now... you know, I told Jimmy Pardo, who opened the show for us, and I said this to Jimmy, and I said it on the air.
Yeah, I said it behind his back.
Well, it ain't like I'm saying something bad.
Look, you say something behind a guy's back, it's bad. If you say something that's good, you're not really doing it behind his back.
Why not? You still say it behind a back.
Yeah, how come you can't do it behind a back?
What are you, knucklehead? What are they talking about now, for God's sake? We waste more time.
Margaret, take it easy. Guys, behind the back is another way of saying talking about someone and you don't let them hear it because it's bad. That's what behind the back means. You cannot talk behind the back of someone when you're talking well of them because you want them to hear that. Unless there's some weird reason why you don't want them to know it. And even then, I wouldn't call that talking behind their back. I would just say it's talking in confidence to somebody about someone, you know.
Why would you talk well about someone and not want them to hear it?
I don't know. I really don't. Maybe you don't want to give them a big head, you know?
Well, what does that mean, big head? That's probably going to be filthy or something.
Thank you, bud. Write that down, Robert. I don't want to make a big issue out of it.
You know what? You are making a big issue out of it. Getting a big head? You got to be kidding.
You know how your audience is. Write that down, Robert.
Big head. You never know, Mr. Andy. People might think, you know, that you're talking about penis.
That's what I'm doing. I'm talking about a penis.
Jesus, H. What the hell? That woke me out of my reverie. I was bored stiff, if you'll pardon the expression. Look at this.
Yeah, write that down.
What is it with you?
You know something, Phil? You got to get control of this situation. That filth file is all anybody's talking about now.
Honest to God, Margaret. Every freaking day you got some new picture up there.
And well, I should. I've got one to show you today that will, as Phil likes to say, folks, this will ride your wig clean off. Wait till you see this.
What is this?
Don't worry about it, chum.
Yeah, you see it, Mr. Henry. It'll ride your wig off.
It'll ride my... Do I look like I'm wearing a wig?
No. Maybe it got ridden off.
Wig got ridden off, Mr. Henry. How about that?
Yeah, that's real funny.
I stand by what I said. Your filth file is way out of control. It's way off the beaten path. And you're starting to tighten my jaws with it.
General, I'm sorry if I'm tightening your jaws, as you say. But it's very, very... You saw what it said. Eating... Where is that picture, bud?
Yeah, I'll get it up for you, Miss Gray.
All right, hold on. Just please hold on, because there's too much going on here, all right? We got to get a picture, we got to do this or that. We got Bobby Dooley hanging on. She's going to be talking with us about this KFC. The KFC story is pretty whack. And it's typical of the kind of thing that really... Man, this tenses me up, you know?
Why is that?
I cannot stand, first of all, in this modern age of every monkey see, monkey do, jackass that's online and sees some story and wants to be the first person to go, oh, did you see this? And there's all kind of phony baloney outrage. If we were really as outraged about the treatment of children as we pretend that we are, there'd be no more child abuse in this world. If we were really as outraged about half the stuff that we pretend we're outraged about, the world, this place, to quote Frank Zappa, would be Disneyland.
Well, there is a Disney. Well, you mean the entire country?
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you imagine that?
You know, hold on. If the entire country was Disneyland, you're telling me I'm going to get out of bed and see some guy in a mouse uniform or something like that?
No, they're talking about the general overall fantasy sense of it.
Well, you know something? I'll take the world just as it is, my friend. I don't need to get out of bed and see some guy in a monkey, you know, wearing the monkey head or something like that.
They need a monkey head.
You've never been to Disneyland.
He's talking about the mascots.
Oh, yeah, those mascots scare the hell out of people.
You know, that's true, because I remember when we took the Delmonico, the first time we took the Delmonico, he was in a stroller still. And I remember one of the mascots danced up to him and did the mascot thing.
Yeah, I know what they do.
No, hold on, Phil. This is a very specific thing that it did. It wasn't anything other than being the mascot, but...
Mickey Mouse will walk up and...
Would you hold on, please, for God's sake? We're talking about the Delmonico here, Phil. Are you remembering when? Because what happens to the Delmonico and what happens to other children, real big... It's a chasm of difference. It's a wide Grand Canyon-sized gulf, emptiness and loneliness. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Margaret, don't get bent out of shape. He's just, you know, he has a right to make a comment.
It's a good thing the general spoke, because I was about to get up.
Now, Margaret, you know, that's not a shock to me. You're about to get up. Anytime anybody disagrees with you, you're about to get up.
Would you mind explaining that?
Yeah, Margaret, it is true.
Shut up, bud. Every time anybody disagrees with you...
That is not true.
Well, Bud says something. Robert says something.
Bud will say something about yesterday. He said fully developed, and he goes ooh, and he was doing the big. He was doing the big tit thing.
Well, that's true.
Yes, thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean,
no, not well anything. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So, what do you want to say?
What do I want to say?
Talking about the Delmonico.
Yes, the Delmonico was at Disneyland, and one of those mascots, I don't know what they're called, Phil. It was one of them.
Well, was it what was it a squirrel or what was it?
It was, I'll tell you where it was. It was on Main Street.
Main Street. That could be anybody.
It was one of the things that comes hopping up, and it did a dance. It didn't speak.
Do any of them speak?
Do any of them yes, doesn't Mickey Mouse speak?
I don't think Mickey Mouse speaks. You know, does he speak?
You're asking me, I don't know about a Mickey Mouse. I know Mickey Mouse speak in a cartoon.
I don't think any of the mascots, when you go to the Disneyland park, are able to, because they got the head, you know, because of the head.
Well, the head is that gigantic. Okay, here we go.
I'm just making a note.
Thank you, Robert.
Is he going to be making notes every time someone says big head?
I think so. If you'd like to check with David Hall, we can.
No, that's fine.
Why are you getting distracted by it?
Yeah, it's a good point. Why are you getting all distracted by it? Why don't you mind your own business?
Hey, Bud, don't be talking to me like that.
I wasn't talking to General.
Well, you sure don't talk to me that way. You're talking to me?
Well, you know...
Oh, baby, that's a good fight. Let me tell you something, Dickman. Phil says the right hand has seen everything. You see my penis? That...
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Well, just, you know...
Dad!
I'm gonna go... I gotta get up and get a you-woo. Save me from a
homicide charge?
No, from drinking something else.
Hey, I'll go with you.
Yeah, whatever. I just threatened you with my penis.
Would you guys shut up? So what happened?
What happened was this. Some mascot at Disneyland, the Delmonico was still on a stroller. The mascot comes dancing up going, whatever those things do. But it was dancing and skipping and twirling. And the Delmonico shrieked. I'll never forget the look on this the little child. You know, today, Phil, he's a 14-year-old boy. He's having fun. He's running around. He's very strapping and handsome young boy. Back then, this is a baby in a carriage. And I'm a young mother, and I'm looking down at this little pink face, and his eyes widened out to the size of my God, literally, the saucers under teacups.
Yeah. As wide as a saucer.
No. The teacup saucers. You've seen those.
Out of these U-woos, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Okay, go ahead.
What are you doing?
We're just getting U-woo.
All right, you don't have to come in here. Blah, 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 blah. I'm talking.
All right, go ahead.
So the...
You're talking about a teacup saucer. That's what... You know, my wife, she went down here to, I think it was a Cork and Barrel... And,
all right, but General, we're trying to get through this so we can get to the break.
Well, if you're just trying to get through it, Phil, thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I don't want to just fill up time when you have other important things to do.
No, I'm asking you. The kid's eyes were as big as saucers.
Yes. And he looked at this thing dancing, and I said to Frank, what is that? Now, Frank at that time was younger, but still not a spring chicken. And he said, it's one of the Disneyland people. I said, I know that, Frank, but it's a costumed thing. What is it? And he said, it's a spaceman or it's a squirrel. I said, Frank, my God, how do you, it's a spaceman. I said, Frank, what? And I was getting very desperate because the Delmonico was sitting there and all of a sudden you see the child and every mother knows this. The eyes get wide, the face begins to contort into sort of a little pink piece of bubble gum that's been chewed too much. And it becomes, and right away you hear it. Well, this thing, whatever it was...
Oh, wait. I'm having a very hard time trying to fathom what it was you were looking... Was it an animal costume?
I don't know.
Then it must have been some kind of a future land, or what do they call that place?
Tomorrowland.
Yeah, Tomorrowland thing.
What?
Was it a space creature?
No. It was one of the characters from one of the Disney books. You know, like Song of the South?
All right, was it a bear?
No, Phil, don't you think I'd know what a bear looks like? It was something, I've never seen anything like it. It was as frightening, as ghoulish, and it danced and sang.
I have no idea what the hell this could be.
You've said that. Thank you very much, Phil. You're about as worthless as as tits on a bull.
I'm sorry? Could you say that louder?
No, I don't think I will.
She said tits on a bull.
Thank you.
I'll say the dirty words that I say, and you don't get...
You mean you don't say them, but I do.
All right, thank you very much. Enjoy your woo-woo.
It's called a you... Did you get a load of him?
You-woo! It's called a you-woo, not a woo-woo. Okay?
Great. You know what? That's a... You guys, I'm so glad you're here to keep me honest on this shit!
Get a load of Phil. My God, everybody back off.
Jeez, Mr. Henry. What's that about?
So I can move to the break here without listening to these guys.
Well, yeah, all I said was it's a you-woo, it's not a woo. You're the guy that said woo-woo, like you're some damn dancing Indian. You got a guy staked over an anthill, and you're going woo-woo-woo, and you're watching a man being eaten alive. Oh, now he's laughing.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm laughing my ass off at you, Jen. All right, Bobby Dooley coming up next on the curious case of this child at Disney. Not Disney, it was the little girl at KFC. A little child at KFC that, was in the KFC, and then the word got out somehow that this child was asked to leave because she had suffered a pit bull attack and she had some facial scarring. I saw this little baby. She didn't look that bad at all.
No, she did not. She was beautiful.
She was. She had a patch over her eye. God forbid. I don't even want to know what happened there. But apparently the whole story turned out to be horse doo-doo. And we'll find out about that. Wiz Khalifa here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We Dem Boys. This is a huge track for the Wiz.
Yeah.
You know? I hope you don't mind me calling you that, Wiz.
I bet you he does. Oh.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Holla, we them boys.
Hello, everyone. This is General Galen Shaw, and you know where I'm shopping for my slacks, sweaters, and overcoats? Bowlings. Bowlings in the mall in Pasadena. You go into Bowlings, and old man Bowling is still there. He's not doing very well. He's on one of those hoverounds, but he will take you around the store and show you the tweed jackets, the leather pants, the vinyl slippers, a lot of things that we used to wear in the 70s, lots of leisure suits, lots of really bad-looking Nehru jackets, and of course, the things that you've come to know and love, vinyl vests and plastic jackets. It's Bowlings. Bowlings Mare for Wear. Bowlings Wear for... I fucked it up. Shit.
Oh, you can keep going. Keep going.
Bowlings Wear for Men. That's it. Wear for Men in the mall in Pasadena. Tell them General Galen Shaw shops here, and I think he got his most recent pair of vinyl boots here. I think I'd like to see a pair of those, too.
Is that what I told you to say?
No, I ad-libbed that last part. I hope it's...
Yeah. Wiz Khalifa and We Dem Boy. I think you pretty much have the idea that that's the name of the, you know, the track. And
We Dem Boys is the name of the track.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm.
Oh my
don't
God,
be.
It's amazing. Hola, hola, hola.
This is almost as good as the Black Sheep's.
Huh.
All right, anyway, welcome back here. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley to join us now as we discuss with her and with her husband, Steve, this little girl, the KFC restaurant, allegedly throwing this child out. Well, guess what? No, it did not. This never took place. This never happened. It was a hoax, as reported today. Now, originally, it was reported, and we'll get to the story here. Now, we've got Bobby and Steve on the line here with us as well. Bobby, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better, Phil. We were very, very stunned by the news this morning. Steve and I both are stunned. We are at Butner Lake right now, which is our vacation home. And, you know, we're trying to enjoy ourselves, even though we...
I said, you gotta understand, this is our vacation home. We're trying to enjoy it. And a man can't do that.
I understand that. Well, here is the story. And when you say you can't enjoy yourselves, tell me why.
Well, I think it's obvious the reason why we can't is because... Here comes Dylan now.
Yeah, baby.
My son is out right now on, we're trying out a new powerboat sail, a new runabout that we're buying because ours burned. I don't know if you heard the news.
I saw the posting on Facebook.
We think it was the Costellos, but we can't be sure. In any event...
I mean, that's arson. That's destruction of property. Has the sheriff checked into it?
Well, they're saying that, you know, because of the medical marijuana.
Yeah, well, I read, do you smoke this medical marijuana, Dooley?
I appreciate it very much, Jennifer, if you call me Mr. Dooley or Steve.
No, I'll call you Dooley. Do you smoke this medical marijuana?
God damn.
Steve, answer him.
Yes, I do. I have medical marijuana for sweat itch, which is in the between the testicle.
All right, we don't have to know where it is. Is it a crotch? Is it in the crotch or something?
Oh, that sounds kind of...
That is very, very crude, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, your husband... I just want to find out, is he smoking this medical marijuana? And you said, yes, he is. And then I want to find out what the ailment is. And I guess we found out. It's called...
Yeah, it's called sweat itch.
It's called sweat itch. And sweat itch is something that men get if they're athletic. I've got a very athletic husband, Phil. My husband works in the outdoors, as you know.
I do.
And... you know, that you tend to sweat. He's got an outdoor job. As a result of that, he's muscled. And because the muscles in his thighs, it's natural to get muscled. And if you get muscled in the thighs, Steve, you know it.
Yeah, you get muscled in the thighs, Mr. Henry, then the thigh gets wider, and the wideness of the thigh will then be abrasive against the testicle, both of them, and mine hang pretty low. And
all right, I got enough information, okay?
Well, Mr. Henry, please don't be insecure about my husband's body.
I'm not insecure. I've got an audience to keep in mind. So anyway, good luck with that. I didn't know they gave out medical marijuana for sweat itch.
They don't give it out.
They don't give it out, Phil. It costs.
Yeah, I got some of that donkey dick.
Okay, what is it with you guys in the language this morning?
What the hell is donkey dick?
That is the marijuana. We didn't name it, Phil. It's a bud that...
Yeah, talk about bud.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Big deal, bud. So you're just now getting to that joke?
Anyway, this is a... may I continue saying what I'm saying, Mr. Henry? Because...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is a medical marijuana that we picked up. It was prescribed by our doctor for sweat itch. We have Desinex, yes, but the Desinex is going to take a few days to kick in. In the meantime, we have a topical unguent. Okay. You know about the topical unguents?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
All right, so we have a topical unguent for Steve. But until that kicks in, Steve has been given a prescription for a medical marijuana, one that is particularly high in the cannabis sativa. So we went to the medical marijuana dispensary, and Steve saw donkey dick. Now, excuse my language.
That's the name of it, huh?
Yes, I wouldn't be saying it.
My wife's not got a foul talk about a donkey dick unless that's what it's called.
Why do they name these medical marijuana? What is going on?
My son is testing out powerboats. I thought I already...
Well, yes, I didn't know it was...
It's a little loud.
I'm sorry. Should we step here? I'll step back. I step back a foot.
Oh, that'll help.
Well, I'm sorry. This is the best that I could do. We're dealing with some things here, Phil.
All right. Let's get past all of the medical marijuana, you know.
If anybody want to get it, if you got sweat itch or you have the if you do have the thick thigh and the thigh muscle and the testa and your testicles hang low, go get the donkey dick.
Okay, I don't want to hear that term anymore, Mr. Dooley. Do you mind?
Yes, sir. Jawohl, mein Helpen.
God damn, Phil.
And watch the GD, if you don't mind. I mean, I realize that we're online and all of the old rules having to do with the FCC do not apply. I try to keep things within a certain decorum nonetheless.
Oh, well, okay. You know, Phil, you're really kind of behind the times. Have you ever heard the Howard Stein show? Have you ever heard Oppie? That's it.
Yeah. You listen to Anthony and Oppie?
Opie and Anthony, yeah. And Howard Stern, yeah.
What did you call him?
Howard Stern. But that's okay.
All right. Do you ever listen to I guess I'm pronouncing it wrong,
What show?
The one in...
Bubba the Love Sponge. God, you don't know anything.
Oh, okay, Margaret. You're just so down.
with all of these. What's the name of it?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
You listen to him.
I listen to Bubba. I listen to all those guys. But I'm sorry, I just don't necessarily go down the same pathway of other radio talent. I like those guys, but I'm trying to, you know, stay my own course, if you don't mind.
Well, that's what he thinks anyway, but, you know.
Okay, I get it.
You get it. All right. Well, that's great that you get that, Ms. Dooley.
All right. Well, in any event...
I'm very glad you got it.
Am I going to be allowed to continue?
Yeah, go ahead. I want to make sure you got it.
Hey, Mr. Henry, come on. I mean, I'm talking about some things that are serious.
Yeah, very serious. Donkey dick, sweat itch, your balls hang low, your thigh is too...
What did you just do?
I put her on hold. I got to take a walk. Bud, take over.
Phil!
Bud, take over.
You want me to take over?
Get in that seat and take over.
Why not me?
Because I don't want you in there. I'm taking a walk. Bud, take over.
Get over here, Bud.
What do you want me to do?
Oh, quit crying. You've always wanted to host the show. Go.
And, on a Phil Henry show, I'm Bud Dickman. What do you think?
What do I think about what?
About Phil Watt. We're here. I better go to the phone call.
Take the call.
Dickman, you know, don't mess this up. Thousands and thousands of people listening, don't butcher it.
Okay, Miss Dooley, Mr. Henry walked away because of you saying, or not you, I don't want to blame you, but because of a man saying the dick word.
It wasn't me. It was actually Phil Henry. There he goes. Look at that.
A bat out of hell.
My son Dylan is testing out powerboats right now, and he is going like a bat out of hell.
All right, well...
Bud, let me...
Okay, here, Margaret Gray, now to ask a question.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Yay!
You know, your sarcasm aside, could you move away from that boat?
I just stepped back another foot.
Thank you. So, tell me about this child. She allegedly had been kicked out of a KFC in Jackson, Mississippi because her, quote, facial scars were too disturbing. The internet loved the story of a disfigured little girl bullied by a multinational food conglomerate, but it turns out that it is a hoax.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
It turns out, God damn you to hell, God...
I heard that.
Well, you know something? You're doing that on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Dooley was leading the charge against KFC.
We can't hear you.
All right, let me get in here.
What are you doing?
Let me get in here, bud. Ms. Dooley, you're avoiding the questions here. I've got to come back here now.
It sounded to me like you were having a meltdown. Are you all right? Are you sure you're safe to go back on the air?
Yeah. You were one of the people leading the charge here against KFC for the treatment of this little girl. Isn't that correct?
I hear you, Mr. Henry.
You know, you can avoid it all you want, but everybody knows that you guys were leading the charge against KFC, calling them cruel, calling them bigoted, saying that they hated children. Apparently, though, this has turned out to be a hoax. The Laurel Leader call in Mississippi is calling it a fundraising hoax, specifically a Kentucky Fried hoax. Several anonymous sources told the paper Sean Murphy that the story told by the girl's grandmother to a local TV station about the incident doesn't match the facts.
Here's what we think, Phil, as long as you want to press the point.
Yeah, that's why we have you on.
Well, I thought you had us on to talk about a variety of things. We were discussing the fact that my husband has a severe case of the ball itch.
It's sweat itch.
Would you call it what it is? I thought it was sweat itch.
Yes, it's sweat itch.
No, that's not why we had you on the show. We have you on the show to talk about this.
Well, I wanted to talk about it because my husband has been in very, very severe pain.
Have I had shingles, Mr. Henry?
No, I have not had shingles. Is it like that?
No, but you'd be kind and sweet and peaceful to somebody with a shingle, wouldn't you?
If we had someone on... Oh, God.
Listen, let me tell you something, Dooley. I've about had it with you and that... God damn it.
Like a bat out of hell.
Yeah. Click. Yeah, okay. I just made the click sound for the stopwatch because you can't hear it. That's 33 seconds. That beats the last one that he did. And he...
Okay, you know what? Keep them on hold. Don't hang up on them.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, Ms. Henry got to go a break.
And when we come back, I'm going to give everybody the background. Then we're going to get right to Ms. Dooley and her husband, Steve, And I think the most embarrassing aspect of all of this for them, which is why they're avoiding this.
Oh, you know, Phil, you're gonna, you may come back to a dead, if you ever heard the same, there's a dead man on the other end of this phone. That's what you may come back to.
You mean, what do you mean by that?
There might not be anyone there. They're listening to you right now.
You know what I'm saying? I'll go check. Make sure to stay on the phone if you want.
Well, you and Bud do that, okay?
Yeah, because there may be a dead man on the other end of that phone.
That's not quite the phrase, General. A dead man means you're talking to a dead man.
What are you... You know something? Sometimes you say things that are so jacked up, I want to disfigure myself on your behalf. Because I know you'd never do it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's just a thought.
Yeah, that's a great thought. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. What a weirdo, man.
Oh, I'm weird. Get a load of him.
No, I mean, it's just... We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show on philhendryshow.com. Our one-man show on July the 30th at the Hollywood Improv. We've got tickets left. They're going fast. I suggest you go and you get and you buy and you love and you hug and you... And you put them under your pillow at night, and you let them rock-a-bye your ass to sleep, you know.
Yeah. World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Bud Dickman. Bernie's Speed Shop is a place to go if you really want to uncork it and get that thing running right. Know a lot of you guys? You got all these accessories. You go out and spend a lot of money on that engine. But what about all our stuff? Manifold covers, air filters, carburetors. All other stuff. You think you can drive a car if it doesn't have a steering wheel? God, what a dumbass. Go over to Burley Speed Shop. They got steering wheels, they got tires, they got hubcaps, they got a seat. I had a friend of mine, man, he used to race at drag races. He had like a 65 Ford Fairlane, completely cherried it out and everything, but he didn't have any seats in it. So he had to stand, he had to crouch behind the wheel. Very unsafe. Well, anyway.
What are you talking about?
I swear to God, I swear to God.
You had a friend of yours that raced in the drags, and he crouched behind the wheel.
Yeah, Miss Bennett, because he forgot to put a seat in.
What kind of stumbling, muttering jackball is going to forget to put a seat in a car unless it's a friend of Dickman's? I just realized that. Yes, that's believable.
Pearly Speed Shop in Arcadia, California. Go to Pearly's. Pearly Speed Shop, Arcadia, Pasadena, Monrovia, Duarte, and Irwindale.
They still have drag. What's going on anyway with the whole Irwindale thing?
With what Irwindale thing?
I don't know. Is Irwindale drag strip is closed?
Jesus H, where you been, Henry? Irwindale's been closed for years, I thought.
I thought, did I hear wrong that they reopened Irwindale Raceway?
No. I don't know. But Pomona is where it is.
Yeah, Pomona, I used to go golfing out there at Mountain Meadows, and there's a golf course, as well as an observatory in Colorado where Dr. Tarner works. There's also a golf course out in the eastern part of LA County called Mountain Meadows. I used to go golfing, and on a certain hole, you look right down on the quarter-mile strip at Pomona.
Well, I don't know anything about drag racing, but I'm quite certain, you could ask Frank, that Irwindale is closed. I don't know.
I thought they reopened it, but anyway... All right, so thank you very much, Bud, for that. Thank you very much, Volbeat. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for tuning in here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are a podcast. We are a live broadcast, a webcast, a videocast. We're all of that, man. We're all of that.
And a bag of chip, too. Yay!
That's great.
Bud, you don't applaud. When you're the only one applauding, that sounds real...
Yeah, it sounds kind of desperate, man. Yeah, what are you talking about, desperate? Well, okay, but I'm just doing what Mr. Henry told me.
No, I never told you to applaud by yourself. When I cue you for applause, you can... All right, on the line with us, Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, her husband is also with us. We're talking about... Now, before we get back to them, hold on, Bud. Don't bring them up on the phone yet, because I want to talk about this at great length.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you're going to be on here?
Don't put her on the air yet, man. God.
Bud, are you deaf as well as dumb and blind?
What?
He said don't put her on the air yet.
Dickman, look, I know you're a little slow, but if you keep screwing up like this, son, buddy, we don't know where we're going to be next week. The whole thing, I don't know.
You better lay down.
Oh, I got to lie down. I think you need to lie down.
All right, I don't need you two guys telling each other to lie down.
Phil, file that, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, boy.
You trying to tell me that I'm gay for the general? God damn.
All right. So several anonymous, we told you that this story about this little girl, and I purposefully did not report on this. You will remember that you did not hear me mention this story about a little girl disfigured by a pit bull, and she was kicked out of a KFC. And I'll tell you why I didn't. You may think I got lucky and I just didn't see the story. Every day of my life I saw that story. Every day I saw that story. Now, I'm not telling you this because I'm better than you. I'm telling you this because everybody ought to be this way.
All right, everyone should be the way you were with this story.
Yes, and here's what I did. I said, how likely is it that a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a nationally known, an internationally known brand, in 2014, with stores and with restaurants that have been open for decades, Kentucky Fried Chicken goes back to the 60s, how likely is it that they are going to take such a destructive public relations step as throwing out of their restaurant a little girl had been attacked by a pit bull?
Well, now, here's the thing, though, Phil. A lot of these restaurant managers are real clueless.
No, wait. Hold on. Yeah, maybe. But let me tell you something else. See, we all think that we go to a Kentucky Fried Chicken, we go to a McDonald's, we go to any of these places, that there's some jackball with a paper hat on, like Vernon used to say, and he's standing there with his thumb up his ass, and they gave him that job because he got fired at the hobby store or something, or they gave him that job because he can't get back into the insurance business, and he's just there, he's just marking time until he gets back to his big money gig. No, these people go through corporate training.
Well, that's true, Margaret. These guys are, you know...
You're trying to tell me these guys in the paper hat.
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. They go through a whole training thing. McDonald's does it. Kentucky Fried Chicken does it. Wendy's. They put these cats through school, man. This is a career. This is a career. And they go through school and da-da-da-da-da.
Well, what do you mean go through school? What a guy got to know? A deep fried chicken leg.
Well, there's a real good point there.
Not about deep fried a chicken leg, you jackass. It's about how to treat customers and everything.
What are you talking about? Are you high on a mixture of chemicals or something? Well, I read the...
Never mind, bud. Robert's right. It's not about how to deep fry a chicken leg. That's the easiest part of their job. The tougher part of the job is the whole customer relation thing. And I'm telling you, think what you will about their food. Think what you will about the restaurant. Think what you will about the whole concept of Kentucky Fried Chicken and the way they treat chickens, you know.
What do you mean the way they treat chickens?
Don't you? What? You aren't up on the latest news? I'll bet you there's about 1 million women on your street that are out there protesting at the fried chicken place on account of they got this whole thing about how they treat chickens.
How they treat chickens?
Yeah, they probably... There's rumors of sex.
Get out of here. There's no rumors of sex. It's about animal abuse, okay? But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a nationally known... So I'm seeing this story every day, and I'm reading the story. Thrown out. I don't see one thing about this guy getting fired. I don't see one thing about the restaurant doing anything. I don't see one thing about the corporate offices responding to this in any real significant way. Something ain't right. And it wasn't right the first day that I heard this story. It's an outrageous, asinine thing. If there's no context, and when you're reading a headline, you know...
Well, Phil, a lot of that stuff you used to pull on the air.
But we were given context. This is just a headline. The only thing that's going to make it out of the internet and the only thing that people are really going to hear, even though you may have a huge backstory, you may have a million... I just saw the whole thing about Gary Oldman, which we'll get into that.
Oh, my God. Poor Gary.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. But his manager said, well, you see, Gary's comments were taken out of context. Yes, they were taken out of context, but that's the name of the game, man. You got to realize that's what's going to happen. You have to parse your comments in such a way so as... to whatever gets printed, it's going to be gold. Anyway, this guy at Kentucky Fried Chicken allegedly told this girl to leave. Well, now we find out from the leader call in Mississippi, it was a, quote, fundraising hoax. The family recounted the story. Now, this was the grandmother, they say, gave the story to a local TV station. The family recounted the story in the Victoria Victory on the Victoria's Victories Facebook page, which documents the child's recovery from an April pit bull attack that left her half her face paralyzed and caused her to lose an eye. Jesus, I would sue the hell. I'd sue that guy who owned that pit bull until he can't breathe. You got to be kidding me with these dogs. You know what? If I was I would have gotten my gun, gone over there. I don't give a damn what any. And I would have blown that goddamn dog's head off. I swear to God.
Phil, that would have put you in jail.
And maybe it would have put me in jail. My daughter's losing her eye. She gets mauled by some dog because some dumbass. You saw that kid on TV. That little boy that was out there on the driveway and some stupid ass next door can't even keep his dog on a leash. Dog comes out of the backyard, out onto the driveway, out onto somebody else's property, attacks a child on his own prop, on his own driveway, tries to drag the kid out into the street, and is saved by what? A cat!
Jesus, that was the great... You see that cat?
Yeah. That wasn't a human.
Well, then why don't you go get this cat and it can attack that pit bull? How about that?
That's fantastic, Barry.
Thank you.
Okay, big laugh, huh?
Oh, Phil, I got off a goodie. I got off a little jolly there, and you're jealous.
Yeah, listen, don't be jealous. She got off a cutie.
All right, you got off a cutie. I mean, big deal. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, you know, that the you wouldn't be pissed off if the Delmonico lost half of his face?
If the Delmonico would, don't you ever say anything like that.
Well, I think I will. What if he loses half of his face?
Shut your...
Thomas Gray.
You shut up.
Wow.
I think you hit home there with that one, Phil. Don't talk about the Delmonico losing his kisser. That kid's face is worth millions.
Shut your mouth!
Margaret, you better take a walk. Wow.
Now, she's all squeaking out there, too.
You're not even talking. You're going, Jack!
Well, I'm telling you, I'm warning you.
All right, let's get Bobby Dooley back up here and find out about the situation with this child. Now, Bobby, you just heard it, and you were leading the call for this restaurant to be closed down. You had your own Facebook page, which was the Colonel Can Stick It page. What was it called?
No, Phil, it was called The Colonel Can Bread This, or Deep Fry This.
Colonel, why don't you go ahead and deep fry this?
Right, and we made some very good points. There he goes again. My son is breaking some kind of lake speed record with this beautiful boat. And our point, Phil, is something that I think should be taken into consideration by every parent. Our children are at risk. And you just said it. The pit bulls need, obviously, to be, I think, put down.
We're not talking about the pit bull, though. We're talking about KFC.
Well, I have moved on from... My understanding was I was going to be able to save face, and yes, I said it out in the open, so people know I'm not hiding, that I would be able to save face by coming on and talking about pit bulls.
That was the agreement we struck with Mr. David G. Hall.
Oh, well, you made a big mistake there, because no agreements get struck with Mr. David G. Hall, they get struck with me.
Well, that's not how things used to be.
Well, that's how things are now. Yep, that's how things are now. The tail is wagging the dog now. The talent is taking over. We're calling the shots. We're the money guys. We're the ones that are directing the managers and the sale. You know, all of you guys go do what we tell you to do, and he doesn't get to do anything.
Well, he did assure me, Mr. Andre, that I would be able to save face.
Well, he shouldn't have said that, because I want to talk about the pit bull thing. I mean,
Mary, you just said the pit bull thing.
I mean the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing, okay?
Well, now I'm confused.
I want to know, Ms. Dooley, how you feel.
Yeah, son, there he goes. Yeah.
He's water skiing now, Phil.
Isn't that nice? I want to know, how do you feel now that this turns out to be a hoax?
As I said, Phil, the pit bulls are really what we were after.
No, not with, the Colonel Can Deep Fry My You-Know-What and all of these Facebook pages. You were against Kentucky Fried Chicken. You called them anti-child. You said that they were supporting cruelty to children. You said that they were inconsiderate idolaters. I've got your quote right here. Inconsiderate idolaters who worship the manna of breading, money, cheap chicken, and cheap, lousy, dark meat parts.
Yes, what about it?
That was the statement that you released?
Well, you said you read the press. Oh, look at that. You're
not even familiar with it, and you're giving me a hard time. I think we've said all we need to say about this, Mr. Henry. I'm Bobby Dooley at Western Estates Homeowners Association. Don't you dare hung up on me.
Don't you dare hung up on me.
Yeah, she's not got her stuff together.
What are you guys all quiet for?
Well, I just, you know.
I think maybe you should have let her... Just do her little pit bull pitch.
I'll do the pit bull pitch. She wants to be on the pit bull bandwagon. The pit bulls... How many times do we got to hear about these pit bulls, you know? We, we got people that have been killed. We've got a child that's been disfigured. She loses an eye. Half her face is paralyzed. Poor baby. And we got pit bulls. For what? What have you got your pit bull for? What does this thing do? Does it protect your little ass? Is that it? gun isn't enough. You know, a machine gun and God knows how many automatic weapons some of these jackasses have. You need your pit bull too, huh? What is it that you're afraid of that you got to have all of this? Some of these guys kill me, man. I swear to God. I mean, just how scared are you, man? You got guns. You got knives. You got this. You got that. You got a freaking pit bull. You got chain link fence around your house. You know, it makes me suspicious what the hell it is you're doing for a living.
Well, I think you know a lot of these guys are involved in the methamphetamine, you know, the crank business.
Yeah, they're snorting crank off of a butter knife and everything.
Off a hunting knife, I think is the phrase. But anyway.
I'm better.
Okay, Margaret, God damn, you know, all I said, I was trying to find out.
You said what you said. Excuse me. Pardon the theatrics, I'll be right back. Oh,
look, Margaret, don't start getting into my... If you haven't noticed, I'm on a very short tether today.
Yeah, Margaret, he does. He looks like he's going to lose it here any minute.
You know, I asked the question, what do you think of... How would you feel if the Delmonico got his face attacked and she's flipping out in there?
Miss Gray, we can hear it all the way out here.
Hey, you know, close the door or something, will you? What is that echoing I'm hearing?
That bongo drum, you jack. Every time you say something, it's echoing off that big bongo drum. What are you, some kind of a weirded out... Jesus, get a load of the beatnik.
That's not a bongo drum. That's an African dance drum of some kind. It's not a bongo drum.
Oh, well, I don't give a sweet, JC.
Hey, General, didn't you say you played a bongo?
I played the bongo a little bit when I was in the South Pacific. You know, I was stationed there with 26th Infantry in Panila. Or not Panila, in Panamine. And then we went to Panila.
Where's Panila?
Where's Panila? Get a load of him. It's the capital of the Philippines.
You mean Manila?
All right, Manila. I got to think about the brown. I got to think of brown, but I can't remember what. All I know, the whole town stunk. So when they said, well, think of brown, I'm thinking of brown like a turd. And they said, no, the brown envelope. Oh, Manila. You know?
Yeah, good. That's a great way of reminding. All you had to do was do about 60 seconds worth of putting stuff together, and you got the word Manila. That's great. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, Phil, I don't know.
All right, just hold on. We'll be back here, and General Shaw will demonstrate the bongo drum, I guess. Here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Also coming back here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll have some, I think some, is this stuff like security stuff we're talking about, Robert?
Yeah, some police related stuff. And we also have, Margaret's got to come back in here because Eli Wallach, he died.
Eli Wallach.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What the fuck that I've been
through. All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
2 feet in a red dirt, school skirt, sugar cane, back lane. Free job took years to save, but I got a ticket on that plane.
Yeah, this is Robert Leonard here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, every day when we get off, we always like to go over to Mrs. Olson and get ourselves some breakfast. And I'll tell you right now, you go to Miss Olson for breakfast there in Hollywood by the Sea, you're going to get some of the best omelet, get the best scrambled egg. They got that. I love that whole scramble mix. They do it's beautiful, man. Ground beef and spinach and egg. They all chop that up. That's real good. Then they also have a Mexican scramble. They also have the omelet. I mentioned the omelet, right?
Yeah, what about, tell them about a tortilla and everything.
Yeah, you can have a wheat toast, a corn tortilla. They got the potatoes. They're famous for those potatoes. They got more omelet, and then lunch and dinners, too. That's Mrs. Olson by the Sea. Go on over to get some breakfast.
Mrs. Olson by the Sea, Hollywood by the Sea, Hollywood Beach, California.
Now, they call that Hollywood by the Sea because... Do you know about that film?
Yeah, they call it Hollywood by the Sea because they made some movies out there, right?
Yeah, they made... can you turn this thing down? Because I'm listening to this girl. What's her name? Giggy?
That's Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, I don't understand one thing this kid's saying. She's turn this punk kid down, will you? For Christ's sake. Look, she's rich. Good for her. Okay.
All right, General. We're sorry.
No, there's no need to apologize. I don't even mind the music that much. But I've heard, you know, this Iggy. What's the name?
Iggy Azalea.
Well, how the hell would I remember a jacked up name? Is that a girl?
Yeah, it's a girl. It doesn't sound like a girl to you.
It sounds like it sure as hell ain't a girl's name.
Iggy Azalea is a very... She was a model. And she still is a model. She's a model in Australia, and she still is a model here in the United States. She's a hip-hop artist. She's a very interesting, well-rounded artist. I think her career is pretty astounding.
Well, her career may be astounding, but she sounds like one of these clowns that You know, I asked to wash your windshield or something, and I don't know what the hell she sounds like. So anyway, God damn it, I forget what I was going to say.
Sorry, General, I apologize. I should have reminded you. Let's see, are we coming up? Well, we already did the story there. Oh, Eli Wallach, is that it?
No, it wasn't Eli Wallach, but as long as you got...
I'm going to do Eli Wallach.
Yeah, but you're in there crying and stuff.
Well, I'm done crying. I'm done with the tears. All right, I've cried my last tear for you. Wasted my last year on you. I'm sorry, I'm just warming. I'm sorry, Phil, I'm warming my throat up. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but I was very, very emotional.
Well, why don't you tell us about... You don't want to talk about the Delmonico, huh?
I don't want to talk about the Delmonico having his face chewed off by a pit bull, if you don't mind. Is that all right with you, General?
Well, but...
No, I just wanted... Do you have grandchildren?
You know I do.
All right. Do you want to talk about your little granddaughter? What's her name?
My granddaughter's Missy. She's 2 years old, and hold on. If any pit bull attacked that child, I would tear its head off with my bare hands in front of the owners.
Now, General...
No. But I'm telling you what I would do. Do you see me running out of the room crying?
No.
All right. If any pit bull attacked my little granddaughter, I'd go to the house where it is, and let me tell you something. Handling a pit bull is not a tough thing. You understand what I'm saying, Phil? You can handle a pit bull. I can handle a pit bull. I don't know about you.
You can handle a pit bull.
Are you kidding me? It's a dog, for Christ's sake. Here's what you do with a pit bull. You get it by the rear legs. Now, that's not as difficult as you think. You get around behind a pit bull, you distract it. Once you have both of the rear legs in your hands, that animal is at your mercy. There's nothing it can do. You swing it around like you're swinging an Olympic hammer. You're swinging this pit bull around like an Olympic hammer. And you, at all times, you've got your eye on a brick wall. Find a good, solid brick wall someplace. Are you following me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did this.
I've done this twice. I've done this twice. You get a hold of the animal's rear legs, and then you begin swinging it around.
Well, there's one, if I may, what about the owner?
Well, you know what? The owner's going to have to shoot and kill me. He'll have to shoot and kill me, and then he's really going to be up Crap Creek without a paddle, because I'll be dead, I'll have a disfigured granddaughter, and his dog is still going to die, because I guarantee I'll kill it before he drops me with a bullet. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is how serious I take this bullshit that you guys have been yammering about.
Look, General...
No, everybody here this morning is all upset about this, that, and some... I'm telling you how I'm going to lay down the law now on these pit bulls.
All right, so you've grabbed the pit bull by the rear legs.
Grab it by the rear legs. You swing it around like it's an Olympic hammer, like you see these guys... You ever seen the guy there, Robert, in the...
Yeah, those guys go around in a circle.
Yeah, exactly. They go around in a circle. And then you let go of the pit bull... aiming it for a brick wall, head first into that wall. And I mean, you really fling it. And I guarantee you this much, that GD dog, he won't know whether he's a dog, whether he's a cat, whether he's a canary. He'll think he's human. And it'll walk and stagger around. And it'll say, that's when you go over to it, and very calmly, now, only I can do this. I wouldn't tell anybody else. You can do the other thing yourself. Then I would go over, and I'd twist its head off and hand it to its owner, and say, thank you very much, pleasant day, isn't it, and go off.
Well, that sounds like some kind of a fantasy.
Yeah, that whole, is it a fantasy? I've done it twice.
Did you twist the dog's head off?
No, I did not, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If that was my granddaughter, I guarantee I would kill something. Either the dog, the owner, somebody dies. Now, that's just a fact, okay, because I'm just like you. If I read one more story about these pit bulls, I'm going to lose it, but that's how you deal with a pit bull.
Well, I saw that happen, that real leg thing, now that you mentioned. I didn't see it happen. I just, excuse me. But I heard about it happening on my street. One of our friends here, Mark, got a hold of a pit bull that had attacked a dog, and he did that, the rear leg thing.
That's exactly what you grab those rear legs. I don't give a damn how strong it is. And you swing it around. You got to get going. And boom, you fling that dog right at a wall. If there happens to be a wood chipper working.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, I don't care, you know.
All right, I think we're all very emotional about children. There's no question that we get blinded when we hear about a child being injured. But I think we've got to have a little bit of sanity and sense here. You're talking about going over and killing things.
Look, Phil, if my grant, you're talking about, wait, how many times you want to hear about these stories?
I don't want to hear about them anymore. You're absolutely right. The pit bull thing, I don't know of any other, I don't, people will say guns. All right, now hold on, hold the phone now. Guns are, forget about the Constitution. Guns exist for one reason and one reason only. They are intended to hurt people, unless you're a hunter. But let's just, you know, let's cut through the bullshit. If you have a gun for protection, it's intended to do one thing. That's hurt or kill a human being. That's the only reason why you have a gun. That's the only reason.
Well, what about target practice?
Look, all of that other bull crap aside, you take target practice, but there's a reason for target practice. So you know...
Gavison, you got target practice.
Gavison, you went, yeah, there's a reason for target practice.
Okay, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Did it sound,
Well, it sounded almost Turkish.
Yeah, like Turkish and...
That's fine. I'm sorry, I said ticket. So,
No, you said there's a reason for ticket packet.
Hey, bud.
Sorry.
So there's a reason you take target practice. There's a reason you shoot ski. You're working to get proficient with the weapon, ultimately to use it in defense of your family, and that's going to be against a human being. Now, a pit bull, people will say they have for protection, but that animal is also there for companionship. It is there as a pet for the children. It's there as a pet for you. It is an animal that you enjoy beyond its duties, if you will, as a guard dog. So even a pit bull, you see, has other functionality, if I may be permitted to use the word, than a gun. A gun's about as basic as it gets. A gun's as basic as a lawnmower. There's only, you can't mistake what a lawnmower's for.
What?
For mowing lawns, you dumbass.
Jesus, you are stupid. You know that, bud?
You talked about lawns. This is what it sounded like, Mr. Henry.
No. Just shut up, okay?
No,
just shut up, okay?
Well, I think it sounded like this, Mr. Henry. It sounded like lawnmower.
So what did you think? I was speaking Japanese?
I didn't know.
Anyway, lawnmowers and guns, they have one thing in common. You cannot mistake what they're for. There's the lawnmower. That's what's that for. What's for cutting grass? The lawn. That's it. There's nothing else you can do with that, man. You can't vacuum with it. You may be able, if you have a riding mower, you may be able to drive it to work, but the fact is, on what street and how fast, I mean, the fact of the matter is, lawnmower, and a gun is the same thing. Pit bulls and just about everything else in life, cars. I love it when people compare cars to guns.
Well, you know, yeah, like, you know, cars kill people, too.
Look at dummy. Cars are used to transport us from one place to the next. The fact that they kill people is not why they were designed. The fact that people are seriously injured, as a matter of fact, is the result of the malfunctioning of that piece of machinery, not its proper functioning. When a gun is properly functioning, it kills people. See? When a pit bull is properly functioning, it is a guard dog, it's a companion, it's a domestic pet that also serves to protect the family. So there's no reason, you can't sit there and tell me, well, you see, the pit bull is here strictly for, and it's being misused or what. That, there's no reason on earth that you can't replace that dog, which is obviously, it requires the right kind of owner, with another dog, another kind. If you need that kind of protection, you've got little children around and you want to have a, and I understand having a guard dog.
You know, it's very important, Phil. When you have children and you have a guard dog, that is another set of eyes and ears and so forth.
Yeah, but the dog's not going to be able to diaper it.
I'm not asking. But the stupidity that you exhibit some days is, I think you should get the Nobel Prize for Dumbbell of the Year, really. What?
We got to take a break.
Are you listening to this ass and you're telling...
I understand, Margaret.
I'm simply saying... Well, I forget what I'm simply saying.
You didn't say you're simply saying, but nobody understand it.
Come here for a minute.
Hey.
Kill him. Don't keep pulling me off of him, Phil.
God damn. Yeah, what do you want to do? Give it some hips?
Excuse me.
There they go. All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I'm tired of talking about this stuff, man. It's just, it's weird. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and online. Get that backstage pass, baby. Say, listen, if you want to be involved with us socially, if you want to start dating, if you want to have... I'm just kidding. If you want to contact our social media, all you have to do is go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, P-H-A-N-S. And all the latest on what we're doing is right there. Also, links for backstage passes, links for our website, links for our one-man show there. You can also check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Margaret Gray is on Twitter. Vernon Dozier, Coach Dozier is...
Yeah, I just saw where Coach Dozier's, and also that guy, Dr. Elcott, that weird-ass, Jesus.
Speaking of weird-asses, we have Larry Grover and Jack Armstrong up next to debate the election in Mississippi and the Tea Party fang. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Chelsea Grin. Now, Bob Bacon got some traffic for us. Bob, go ahead.
Well, I'm out here on the traffic here. Bob Bacon, the traffic. I'm seeing the downtown there. A downtown around the ground town and the ground around. And over out here on the west side, we're still that man of the garden. Now, there's a little man over there. He's running around with a little short leg. Bob Bacon, traffic.
Margaret Gray here for my favorite shop. It's called Shop For Me. Clothing that fits only you, your hips, your neck, your head, your wrists. Have you ever heard of such a thing? You can go to Shop For Me, and they will order your clothing. It'll be there in a week. All the other stuff gets thrown out. It's your store for a day. What day would you like? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Would you like mornings, afternoons, or evenings? They'll set the time for you, and when you walk into that store, the only clothing in there is what fits you. If you're a certain size, that let's say is a little bit larger than most women, there may be only one dress and maybe a pair of pants, perhaps a pair of panties and one bra. But they'll find it. They'll find it. The clothing that you need for you, Shop For Me. There are two locations. One is in the Brea Mall and the other is in Haverstam. Shop For Me. I went into the store yesterday, Phil.
What'd you see?
I saw a hat and a G-string, and that they didn't find anything else. They're still working on... Would you turn this god...
Chelsea Grin on The Phil Henry Show, thank you. Shop For Me, a new sponsor. I don't know how long they're going to be around.
What is that supposed to mean?
You went in and saw a hat and a G-string.
Yes, so far.
Well, what are they supposed to have all your clothing in?
My clothes thing? Are you saying clothes?
Yes, I said clothing. I didn't say clothes. If I said clothes, I'd say Oh, you wanted me to say clothes. So you think I'm a lisping... You think I'm some kind of a lisping fairy that...
All right, thanks a lot, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Before we get over, well, actually, we're going to have on the line right now, and thank you, Bob Bacon, for all of that marvelous traffic. You know, I don't know how much longer poor old Bob is going to, you know.
Don't say that.
Well, Bob, you're doing a great job. So, anywho, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, we do have on the line Larry Grover, and we have Jack Armstrong, and those guys are going to lay it out for us here. Talk to us here about the Mississippi Tea Party election or lack thereof. What happened there, General?
Well, what do you mean what happened? The Tea Party got defeated in the Mississippi. And the interesting thing about that is that they expected... Now, the guy that got beaten there, and people are going to say that this is a bad thing me say...
God, Jerry said a bad thing me say. You sound like you're... Yeah, got, you know, no schooling or anything.
Oh, I sound like I don't have schooling. Woo! Boy, that guy's good, you know.
Turn the music off, bud. All right, is this Larry?
I am Phil. Larry Grover here.
All right, and we're going to get Jack Armstrong on. Here is what I wanted to mention before we get over to that. Jack Armstrong with us in Minneapolis. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing very good, Phil, and very pleasant good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Before we get to the Tea Party, gentlemen, Gary Oldman is a great actor and an Academy Award-nominated actor. of a lot of wonderfully diverse parts and entertainments. He's been in Batman. He's been in most recently Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. He's known for Sid and Nancy, of course, and so many other marvelous characters. Air Force One. Gary was quoted in a Playboy interview as saying, and I'm paraphrasing generally here. He was talking about the Jewish executives, Jewish management people, the Jewish brain trusts that may or may not exist in Hollywood to the extent that a lot of people think, you know, that they control things. He was saying in this interview, in a very general way, that prejudice, bigotry, is going to come out in all of us. We're all hypocrites when it comes to bigotry and prejudice, like the cop that busted Mel Gibson. He's never said the N-word before. He's never said the K-word before. Gary has since apologized. He mentioned that he had been reading a book concerning the rise and struggle and influence of Jewish people in the entertainment business. And the whole thing has sort of been a really amazing black eye for a guy who has always been a very thoughtful guy.
Now, Phil, I don't think it's untoward to say that you've met Gary Oldman. You've had dinner with him.
A couple of times, yeah.
And what kind of a man is he?
He's an intelligent guy. He's a soft-spoken guy. He's a sweet man. He's a generous man. I can't say I've ever heard him say anything hateful. And he's a conservative thinker to the most part, but he's a guy that never, ever, ever have I ever heard any such thing. I don't think that's even in him. The guy comes from pretty poor circumstances in London. If you ever saw the movie Nil by Mouth, it's Gary's story, and it's a pretty violent and unseemly background that he had with this sort of abusive home. So I'll start with you, Larry Grover. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I think that Gary Oldman is a guy that is being targeted, I think, by Hollywood. The guy that targeted him was this guy by the name of Pez Hilton or Pez Hilton. I forget his name.
That Pez Hilton. Sound like the guy's got a flip-top head or something.
Well, we can discuss whether Pez Hilton's got a flip-top head later on, because my understanding is, and I bear no misgivings to the man, I understand the man's a homosexual, and as such...
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, this guy's making a joke about the flip-top head. Yeah, that's what I mean, Phil. That's what I mean. That, you know, right away, Larry, you want to go, you want to play that card, Larry, and I don't think it's going to play with Mr. Henry or any of his listeners to be that kind of a smarmy smartass, you know?
I'm not being a smartass. Pez Hilton is an out gay member of the Hollywood intelligentsia, and here he is going after a man like Gary Oldman, who is a phenomenal actor, as you said, Phil. And I think Phil is a very, see, you, Mr. Henry, tend to be very liberal with these issues, and here you are backing this guy up. So what do you think, that Jews are some kind of scum too?
Did I say that? No, I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't? You know.
Well, Phil, I don't hear you coming out, though, and categorically condemning Mr. Oldman.
Well, he's not condemning Oldman, because Oldman didn't do anything wrong.
Well, let me speak for myself, if you don't mind. I saw his comments... let me say, I don't want this to be about me. I'm just going to tell you that that's not the guy that I don't think he's anti-Semitic at all. I think his comments were a series of comments strung together for this Playboy interview. What happened was they were pulled out of the interview, and you don't have the contextual situation there.
Oh, Phil, look, don't start going into this context thing. You know as well as I do, people use that as an excuse.
God, I've got to say that's very, very true, Phil, because what Margaret is saying mostly... When you talk about a guy like Gary Oldman, who's a great actor, there's no question. I'm not doubting or debating whether the guy's a good actor or not. There's no two ways about it. But you got Mel Gibson, who was involved in one of the ugliest, most ugly situations that has ever been seen in the with the Highway Patrol and all of this nonsense. Talking about Jews. Now, here comes this guy Oldman backing him up, you know?
No, he was not backing him up. No, he was not. In the interview, he said, hey, Mel Gibson said these things that everybody else thinks. That's what he was saying.
You see something? Right there, I think that's a very good point. Everybody else is a bigot.
Really? And what are you bigoted against, Mr. Grover?
Well, what are you bigoted against? No, I asked you first. What are you bigoted against?
Oh, that's where I went to go. I asked you first, huh?
Oh, okay. You want to trade? Hey, have you got any milk money for some marbles, and we can go out back and start playing marbles? Have you got your milk money? Is that what we're doing here? Are we playing marbles on the schoolyard?
Yeah, see, you don't want to answer the question. You want to be absurd. I'm asking you, what do you think of this guy, of Gary Oldman backing up the Mel Gibson?
The Mel Gibson. Oh, that's a new one.
All right, it's a good question, though, Larry, if you could answer it.
What I think is very, very simply this. I think Mel Gibson was out of line. There's no question. He was... I don't know what happened out there that night on that stretch of highway. You're alone. You're with a highway patrol or whatever the hell he was. Was that a highway patrol?
California Highway Patrol, I think.
All right.
Or it might have been L.A. Sheriff.
Well, which is it, pal? Because it's a big difference.
What's the big difference?
Why is it different?
Well, the highway patrol are really by the book. The sheriff, on the other hand, you know, the highway patrol's by the book. The sheriff, though, they don't mind taking you around behind a tree and just taking that PR-24 and beating your... testicles in.
Oh, come on!
I'm just telling you, you know.
Do you know of any incident where that happened?
With the sheriff? I don't. But you, look, they're called sheriffs. So those guys come from a long line of guys that'll take you out behind a barn, look around, make sure no one's watching, and they will pound your testicles in with a PR-24. I guarantee, if it happens, they're the guys to do it.
All right, so you're prejudiced against sheriffs, so what I could do here is just hang up on you.
Oh, now, what's that about, Phil?
It's about your stupid comment. Let me go back to you, Larry. What do you think?
What do I think? That's why you got us on here. What do I think? I'm telling you about what I think.
What do you think about the comments Gary made concerning Mel Gibson?
I think what he said was that Mel Gibson's prejudice, that Mel Gibson's got some situation going on with him, with Jews and blacks, but that everybody is prejudiced. The cop that arrested Mel Gibson... When this Gary Oldman said that that cop is probably talking about this or that and the funky chicken too, whatever the hell he said, when he says that the cop's probably prejudiced, the cop, they interviewed the cop, and the cop said that he's never called nobody the N-word or anything like that. And you know that that's got to be bullcrap. You know that guy's lying.
No, I don't know that that's lying. No, I don't. No, I do not know that that's lying. If that guy's used the N-word or the K-word, the best thing he could do would be to keep his mouth shut. Now, if they came looking for him and they said, have you ever used that? He might say, not to my knowledge. I don't know. I don't think. This guy was very categorical, saying, I've never used that word. I've never used that word toward any human being. Some people may think that that's impossible. I've gone on the record. I've gone on the record of this show because of the way that I was raised. I have never used those words in anger about or to people of color.
And you expect people to believe that?
I don't give a damn. I'm telling you the truth. I've used the words in satirical way. I've used them in humorous ways. I've used them in ways, you know, doing the show. But I've never actually looked at or thought about or spoken of somebody as one of those words. It was the way I was raised, and that's just where that's at. Now, that's why I can believe this cop when he says he hasn't. Now, Gary grew up in some pretty tough circumstances. He grew up in a very tough part of town. Life was not easy. I'm sure that those words were thrown around left and right where he was raised. He probably heard his relatives, his people, his fathers, whoever, using those words all the time. So it would be very hard for him to imagine a world, a place, where those words are not used.
You know, Phil, I'll say this. You're making more sense than either one of these jackasses. And you know, Jack, I like you, but Phil is making more sense than either one of you numbskulls sitting here today. Not making any sense.
Goodbye. Well, no, I'm not going to hang up. Did he hang up?
Are you there, Larry?
Yes.
Well, then why did you...
I wanted it to sound like I hung up.
So what were you going to do?
I was going to eavesdrop.
What a baby, man. I mean, you know, Margaret just said that you suck. You're not making any sense.
All right, goodbye.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Why are you telling me you're still there?
I'm not going to lie. You don't want to lie, do you? I'd like to hang up, but actually not hang up. I'd like to pretend like I'm hanging up and still be on the line, but you're going to catch me.
What?
You know something, Phil? I got better things to do than this jackass. Than this guy, you know, this guy is an ass. He's an ass on a platter, this guy. What does that mean, I'm an ass on a platter? Well, you're an ass in a stew. How's that? God, what a dumb thing to say. Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Are you there? Are you there, Larry?
I think he might have hung up.
Okay, he hung up.
All right, see, I sold it.
Get out of here, will you?
Yeah, Phil, he's trying to sell it so that you don't know he's there.
Oh, I see. So I should help him with that, then.
Well, no. I mean, he'll either hang up or he won't, but don't keep asking, are you there? Because at some point, he's going to have to tell the truth, or he's going to sound like Eric Goldman or Barry Goobin. What is this man's name?
Gary Oldman.
Gary, he's going to sound what Gary Oldman said, which is that everyone uses the N-word, everyone uses the K-word.
What's a K-word?
It's anti-Semitic, I'm not going to say.
Well, I think it's...
That I don't want to say.
Anyway, everyone uses those words, and that to say that you don't is to lie. So he's trying to prove that he's not a liar.
Okay, so when I say, are you there, are you there, are you there?
Eventually he's going to say, yes, I am. I think he's hoping that you'll only ask it a couple of times.
What the fuck?
Did I just hear you say, what the fuck?
Yeah, you did. That's exactly what I said, because I don't even understand what it is I'm doing here today. You know?
What does that mean?
It means I don't understand what the hell it is I'm doing here today. That's all. It's nuts. Here's Kay Camp on the Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back.
It ain't nothing to cut that bitch off.
Man.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Arabian Nights, appearing at the Jesus H. Christ Memorial Center this Friday night. Arabian Nights. Yes, the tale of the Arabians and the Nights. I don't know what it's about. That's the only information they gave me.
I think it's a play.
Is that the play that has, you know, the da-da-dee-dee? I forget what it's called.
Oh, a whole new world. La da da.
All right, Margaret, would you shut it off? Yes, go see Arabian Nights this coming Friday night at the Jesus H. Christ Memorial Center.
What are you looking at? I never heard of the Jesus H. Christ Memorial Center. I don't think I want any business from them, okay?
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Moneybags. You're made out of money. You can turn down the business?
Maybe. All right, look, this conversation is just going around and around and around and around. I don't think we're getting anywhere. And now we got this guy, Grover, who is trying to pretend like he hung up so he can eavesdrop. But I'm asking him, are you there? And he doesn't want to lie. So he's saying, yes, he is. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Final thoughts, Larry Grover, go ahead.
That's me?
Yes.
What do you think? He just said Larry Grover. Okay, Armstrong, I heard him. My final thoughts are these, Phil. I think Gary Oldman should get back to the business of making great films, which is what he does. I think people need to understand that these are comments that are taken out of context. I think if you need to get to know Gary Oldman. He believes that the hypocrisy afoot in society, just as you said, is probably the hypocrisy that he grew up with on that very rough side of town that you're talking about. And if there are guys like Phil Hendry that are raised that don't use those words, okay, good for you, Phil. But Gary comes from a real part of the world where people get beat up, where women are attacked, where people are they get their asses kicked in alleys, where some guy's getting his head beat in with a trash can lid. That's the world that Gary Oldman comes from.
Okay.
I'm not done yet, okay? I mean, you asked me my opinion, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm not done yet, because I'm a little fired up here, if you don't mind. Oh, that's great. Okay, that's great. Am I going to have some time? Yeah, you'll have plenty of time, Armstrong, to run your guts out. You'll be talking so much, your guts will run out of your mouth. But now this is my time. And I'm simply saying to you, Phil, that some people were raised in a part of this world where things aren't so squeaky clean, where you don't get your rear end pampered and powdered and wiped, your nose blown, you're loaded into the SUV, you're taken down to the school by your mommy, and you're dropped off, okay? That's not where Gary Oldman comes from. He comes from a hard part of town, a tough part of town. He grew up in a violent home. He grew up in a violent neighborhood. Everybody used the N-word, the J-word, the K-word, the P-word, the L-word, words that I've not even heard. That's what Gary Oldman heard. So Gary wasn't there every day on the streets of London, on the rough streets of East London, going, Mommy! He didn't do that, because when he called for his mother, what do you think he got? He got a cop would walk along and hit him in the balls with a PR-24. That's what he got. When he went, Mommy! A cop came along and said, here's your mommy, and hit him with a billy stick right in the nuts.
Look, Larry.
No, I'm sorry, Phil, but I got to tell it like it is.
I don't mind you telling it like it is. The language is a little rough.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. Maybe we should call up Phil's mama. and see how she feels about it.
My mother's dead.
What an asshole.
Phil, why'd you bring that up?
That was dirty pool, Phil.
I brought it up because it's true. Because she is. My mother is dead. All right. Thank you very much, Larry. That was really just touching and everything else. Let's go to Jack Armstrong.
Okay, Phil. Thank you very much. Very dramatic reading there, Larry. Thank you. That was great. But, you know, I see things a little bit differently. I see Gary Oldman as a professional who's been in front of media microphones for three, four decades now. Gary Oldman... His career goes all the way back to the late 70s when he done Sid and Nancy. Then he done another movie and another movie and another movie. And he's a very, very experienced performer, and he's also very experienced at talking to the press. He should know, he must know what it is, what he says is going to be in print. And if Gary Oldman doesn't understand, but when he talks to the press, that they're going to write down all the bad stuff, then he, I'll tell you what right now, you know, I got a piece of swamp country that you can buy. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, what are you trying to? You're saying that Gary should know better.
Gary Oldman should know better because of his experience with the media. He knows that reporter is looking only for the worst or most sensational thing that he can write down. So Gary gives the guy a whole bunch of quotes, and the guy's going to quote him. All right. So let me say this. If he's not a racist, if he's not anti-Semitic, then he needs to do a way, way better job of letting us know that, because this interview, which he should have known, the Playboy magazine, what do they call Playboy for? Because they show everything, don't they? I remember the first time I saw Playboy and they showed a lady's... They showed the area down there, you know? Do you remember that, Phil, the first time you seen that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm keeping you awake. Okay, I'm done.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, I do.
Well, that's what Playboy does. They show the ladies private, and that's what they do. They're going to do it with the magazine. They take a picture of a lady. She's got her legs spread like she's on an examination table. They got two guys, and I don't know if you know how they do this, but they'll take a guy, one guy grabs one leg, the other guy grabs the other, and they spread her legs as far apart as they can, and then they use a hyper-focused zoom lens that goes right up inside the lady area, and guys are at home looking at this, and they're getting their rocks off to this stuff. I don't understand it, but when they do an interview, that's the same thing what they do with an interview. They're going to take a focus on Gary Oldman and stick it right up his rear end so you can see what he had for lunch. And Gary Boldman or whatever the hell is, that's what the guy ought to know. Now, the other guy that ought to know better.
Okay, I got the gist of it. I thank you very much, but we do have to run.
Yeah, okay, man. You go ahead and run, man. He was doing it to me, too. No, I don't.
Hey, guys, you know, I gave you a lot of time to articulate what you wanted to say. Both of you sound like you are either drug addicts.
Well, what are you trying to say?
You both sound like a couple of jackasses, okay? You both sound stupid. Hey, you know, tell you something. Gary Oldman, this guy, this and that, you just sound weird.
I think they're making sense, Phil, but they're having a difficult time saying it.
If I'm having a difficult time, I'm telling you. That this guy, Oldman...
What is this whole thing with they grab one leg and the other guy grabs another and they spread it as far apart?
That's Playboy magazine.
Yeah, they do, Mr. Henry. Ain't you ever seen it?
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Boy, what a pain in the ass, man.
So,
Well, you know something? How do you say that?
Bravo.
Bravo. Very good, Phil. Because if I... This day was shaping up this way. I was going to go down to a guy's house. I was going to rip his pit bull's head off. Then I was going to go over to that Larry Grover's house, kick his ass, kick his mother's ass, find that Jack Armstrong and end his life, because I don't know why he even exists, and then come back here, sit down, and have a nice warm bowl of soup.
Hey, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, well...
I think that... Gary Oldman is a brilliant actor, but I think that he should have watched what he said.
That's the part I agree with. That's the part I agree with. I don't think for a minute he's an anti-Semitic guy. He was inarticulate, and it's very surprising because Gary Oldman's not only just an actor, he's a writer, he's a director, And as I said, he's a man, he's a very measured man. You know, he's played a lot of psychos in the films that he's in. But in real life, he's a calm, sweet guy. He's got his sons, you know, he brought his family here to California. He brought his mother out here. He's a great father. He's, as I said, he's a writer and director. His job is to communicate. And I don't know, man, maybe, I'm telling you, it's very, but if you sit down with a writer, you sit down with any reporter, you got to really watch what you say. They're going to write everything, man. And I learned that the hard way. Not that I've given a whole lot of media interviews, but I remember when the very first time I ever saw a quote of mine in print, I wanted to crawl under a door. I mean, it was the stupidest thing.
You remember what it was?
It was some quote I gave to an LA paper after I got fired from a job here. And it just, I was embarrassed. And I realized from that day forward, I had to be really careful and measure what I said, because everything is being recorded. Everything is being listened to, and everything will be written down. You may think, well, because you lull yourself into this. You lull yourself into the belief that you're just having a conversation with somebody. No, you're not. You're not having a conversation. You're giving a speech. The best way to approach an interview, you're giving a speech to one guy who's going to select from that speech what he wants to write down in the newspaper, and that's what's going to reach the people that you're giving the speech to. So you've prepared a speech. This is the way you ought to approach it. I've prepared a speech that I want to give to my fans, my listeners, to the movie going public. And now I will give this speech, responding to the guy's questions, obviously, but I'm going to be responding as if I'm giving a speech.
And just assume that whatever he quotes is going to be good because you've prepared it.
Exactly. So if the guy says, I'm going to interview you today, if you don't mind, Mr. Oldman, I want to interview you about, your career, Playboy magazine, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, it's really great. I'm going to talk to you about the movies. When he sat down with that and they started asking him all these highly charged questions about Mel Gibson,
Well, see, right there. Some guy asks me, if I'm this guy, Gary Boldman, and he asked me,
his name's Gary Oldman. Let's get it right, okay?
Well, God, Mr. Henry, you're the guy that knows him.
Dude, you ain't seen this guy in the movies?
No, I've seen him in the movies.
Then get his name right.
I'm sorry, Phil. It's Gary Oldman. The thing of it is, this guy, and you know this guy, but he ought to know better than to be talking to the Playboy magazine, for God's sake. Just like the one thing that clown did say, that Grover clown, and that guy was a Ringling Brothers clown. There's no question, I agree with you 100%, that guy Grover was a Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, union, underline the word, union clown.
And so he has his union card.
Yes.
Now,
isn't that interesting?
What, are you making fun of me?
Of course I'm making fun of you, union clown.
I'm telling you, the guy would qualify.
All right, so he's a clown. He's a clown.
Yes. And that guy Grover said it. He said, you better just be careful, because Playboy shows the nude women. And I'll tell you one other thing I saw in Playboy that I never thought I'd see the day. And I don't know how does Margaret, forgive me, and the people, when you talk about them, they had a picture of a woman's, the butthole.
Yeah, they're doing that now.
Yeah, okay, General, that's fine.
Well, had you ever seen it?
You know something, General, it doesn't surprise. Have I ever seen it? Of course I have.
No, I mean in the magazine.
Yes. Playboy, if you want to get right down to it, Playboy is late to the game. Playboy, it's a very interesting thing about Playboy. I don't want to change the subject, but maybe this is a good time to do it.
Well, if you're changing it to this, no, I don't think you should.
All right, well, we only have a couple of minutes left in the show, but Playboy was the originator, or it was the catalyst, it was the fire starter for the sexual revolution in America that began in the 50s, and it's interesting to see Playboy having had its doors blown off by everybody else just sailing right by. Now it's like, it's not got nothing to do with any of that shit, man.
It doesn't have anything to do with what, being a gentleman?
Oh, it's got to do with being a gentleman. But no guy, I think the best line I ever heard in a movie was in the People versus Larry Flint, where Larry Flint's character, played by Woody Harrelson, looks at the members of his Hustler magazine staff as he's reading from Playboy magazine about BMWs, about quadraphonic stereo, about, martinis. He says, gentlemen, Playboy is mocking you.
What does that mean?
It meant that 99% of the American males in this country, that we don't know anything about martinis and BMWs and quadraphonic sound and having a leopard skin rug and all that other bullshit. Maybe we can even afford that stuff, but it may not necessarily be our taste. It's talking about all these things that most guys can't afford, and even if they could, maybe they don't even want it. And it was basically saying, this is how you should live and who you should be if you want pussy. Excuse my French.
Phil, I don't appreciate... Frank didn't live that way. He had money, yes.
Well, then that's what Playboy ought to say. Have money. If you wanted to, if Playboy would want to really do a service for the American man, they should have cut through all the bullshit, and they should have said, you see all these models? You see how hot they are? Go out and make a lot of money.
That is absolutely cynical.
Yeah, but you know something? It's true.
It's absolutely true. Go out and be as rich as Hugh Hefner. I'm not the first American man, and I won't be the last, to look at that guy's kisser and ask myself, how the hell did that jackball get all these hot-looking chicks? I mean, a million times in my life, you know? And no, it ain't got nothing to do with that, bud.
Yeah, guy's probably got one size of Johnny the Wad Holmes and everything.
No. Tut. It's got to be more than that, man. Guy's got a big one. Johnny the Wad Holmes then have been living like Hugh Hefner.
Well, maybe he... Well...
Yeah, really? The guy was out having a knockoff... The guy was out doing rip-offs. He was out burglarizing homes. That's how good things... Burglarizing homes. Holmes was burglarizing.
Yes. Get to the good stuff, huh? Were you ever at the Playboy Mansion? Tell us about sex parties, Phil.
No, all right, folks. That's all the time we have on the program here today. It's been my great, great pleasure to be with you. We will see you guys tomorrow morning at 8:30. Don't forget that this show drops as a podcast within a couple of hours. We also have our show log, which will appear online as well. And, of course, the show is available on demand on iTunes. The show is also available. Did I say devailable?
That is a brand new word.
I was going to say the show is on demand. It is available on our website at philhenryshow.com, as are all of our shows that are archived. And what else? Make sure you get tickets for our one-man show, which is on the 30th of July at the Hollywood Improv. It is the world of Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch. July 30th, Hollywood Improv. We'll see you later. Here is G-Eazy, Tumblr Girls.
Oh, I love this. This is a lovely song.
What is about a Tumblr girl?
Yeah. It's a great song. Lauren turned me onto this. She mentioned this song to me.
Oh, this is nice. This is the white boy.
Just listen to it, please. See you later.
Cause I'm in love with these Tumblr girls with skinny waists and drug habits. Pretty faces, love status. She acts as if she's the baddest. Man, I swear she's just like tons of girls. She expects the free drinks. And I'm successful, she thinks. Always comes around what we thinks. We fuck off and on, off and on. Only ever really fuck off and on. Never see her these days cause I'm off and gone. When I'm home off tour, never stop for long. Back this week from across the pond. Notice I was close to the block she's on. Elevated to the floor, loft was on. Drinking whiskey, she likes vodka strong. But after we fuck, it's over. Walked out the door, that's closure. No, I can't stay here and hold her. Tomorrow I'll act like I don't know her. Would never be here sober. Can't tell which one is colder. My clothing's on, we both did wrong. I gotta go, that's what I told her. Yeah. She said she can't feel her face. Yeah, right now I can't feel my heart. For your feelings, there's no place. Yeah, but you knew that from the start. You and I were made of glass, we'd never last. You and I were made of glass, we'd never last. Quick to die, we moved fast and then we crashed. You and I were made of glass, we'd never last. She's fine as fuck and she knows it. Sexy body, she shows it. Loves the drama, she chose it. She draws a line and she blows it. The most fun, I suppose it. Pops a bottle, won't close it. Feels the fit, then she throws it. She pops a bar, now she's dozing. She's hot and cold, hot and cold. Homie, I don't know, she's hot and cold. Truly the bullshit has gotten old. Superficial with a rotten soul. Fucking off and on, always stop and go. Probably got someone choose not to know. Head to her place, then we lock the dough. Making bad calls when I'm off the blow. Cause she's a bitch, I'm selfish. Wanting everything. Every girl can't help it, and it's tough for me to shelf it. It's you I see myself with, right now I know you felt it. I touched it and she melted. We shouldn't chill, but we do it still. Gotta play the hand if you dealt it, yeah. She said she can't feel her face. Yeah, right now I can't feel my heart.
asking.